Tim Westergren, you've been a composer, a musician, and a record producer. And in 1999, you founded the Music Genome Project. That project launched Pandora Internet Radio in 2005. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what is Pandora Internet Radio?
Pandora is an online music service that allows someone to very easily create essentially a radio that plays just music that they like. And it does that by relying on the Music Genome Project, which you mentioned. And the Music Genome Project is a 6.5-year-old effort that we've been at since January of 2000 to analyze songs, pop songs, one at a time, each along 400 musical attributes. They're analyzed by professional musicians. And what that allows someone to do when they launch Pandora is to type in one song or one artist that they like and instantly create a station full of music that's sort of musical neighbors to that song by comparing its sort of musical DNA with other songs in our collection.
So you're analyzing up to 400 features of a song.
Yes, exactly. So what we're doing is we're trying to capture every little detail of each song that collectively gives that song its unique sound. So it's all the details of melody and harmony and instrumentation and rhythm and form, and it's really like musical DNA. When you type in a song into Pandora, what happens is Pandora looks at that song's DNA, those hundreds of attributes that we've captured, and compares it to everything else that we have in our collection. There's about 400,000 songs there now, and then starts creating playlists based on sort of musical similarity with other songs in the collection.
Rhyme and Reason, this show is about story songs. The lyrics are really key. And I'm wondering, to what extent are you analyzing the lyrics of songs?
Yeah, lyrics are an interesting thing for us. We certainly do analyze lyrics. But when you launch a station on Pandora, lyrics play sort of a relatively small role in determining what comes up in your playlist. That's what happens when you start. But as you use the service, one of the things that you can do is you can essentially react to the songs you're hearing and kind of give them thumbs up or thumbs down. And when you do that, you refine the playlists. And essentially, the Genome Project begins to get a sense of what you like about music. And if you seem to be paying more attention to the lyrics, then lyrics will begin to play a more important role in determining the playlists for you. So we do have all that music analysis there, and you can eventually really hone in on the things that really appeal to you as a listener.
There are definitely multiple different approaches to music recommending, and your approach seems really different from other approaches. So why do you think that analyzing the music and finding things that are musically similar is the right approach?
Well, I think the first thing is to say is that, you know, in terms of a right approach, I think the only really real way to determine that is, you know, based on people who are using it. So if people are liking it and responding to it and working for them, then I think, you know, then you can say it's the best approach for them. And I think certainly based on the reaction we've had to Pandora, that it certainly struck a chord, and people really do seem to be liking it. I'm now pretty confident that we've, you know, chosen the right approach. What we're trying to do is allow someone to, with very little input, in other words, just typing in one song or one artist name, instantly create a playlist that makes sense, that plays songs they like, and also that plays songs from artists they've never heard before, or songs they've maybe never heard before from artists they know. So really creating playlists full of musical discovery. And to do both of those things, to allow you to create a station really quickly and to also allow you to discover music, the Music Genome is, I think, the best way to do that. The sort of alternative method that's used by most stations right now is what's called collaborative filtering, which is essentially making recommendations based on what other people like. It's something akin to what Amazon does on their site, where if you buy a book, it'll recommend other books, or if you buy a CD, it'll recommend other CDs that people like who've liked that same CD. In the context of music, one of the issues with that is you don't often get recommended things you haven't heard before. And that's the reason we chose this approach.
There's been a lot of discussion about the idea of the long tail, all of these wonderful items that people would love if they could find them, but that they may not find because you have to be popular to get popular, in a sense.
Exactly.
So do you have some success stories about Pandora's opening up the long tail or some new artists to the listening public?
Well, certainly. One of the things that I spend most of my time doing now is corresponding with people who are using Pandora. So we get hundreds of emails every day from folks. And I would say probably the most common piece of feedback we get is the sort of excitement people have about discovering things they've never heard before. And we analyze about between 12 and 15,000 new songs a month. And 70% of that music now is from artists that are not on record labels or not on sizable record labels.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is also my own personal background. I spent many, many years playing in rock bands and, you know, traveling the country and sort of being a needle in a haystack. And the purpose of Pandora and the Music Genome Project is really to sort of help that huge sea of independent music, independent musicians find their audience. That's certainly a big focus for us.
So I'm imagining this magnet now stand, you know, that you're holding outside of the haystack, finding the right needle for the right person.
That's a great analogy. That's a good. I'm gonna use that. I
fantastic.
Like that.
Yeah, feel free.
Definitely.
I have to say that when I first discovered Pandora, I listened for a few minutes and then I ran out to the house and to get my housemates to say, oh, you really have to try this. This is really cool. So I think that it is a really interesting project, and I think successful in a lot of ways. Mixed success, because my other experience is finding some Girly Man songs, one of my favorite bands, and trying to find some music that sounds like that. And I've been having trouble doing it, and apparently it's difficult because when I look at that in your database, I start hearing the same songs over and over again. And one of the questions that one of my housemates had was, well, you know, I'm typing in this song and you don't have it, and gee, this is something you really should have. Do you look at what people are looking for, or how do you add new music?
Yeah, we absolutely look at what people are searching for. There are a few different sources now for us for new music. We have a couple people whose full-time job is just to look, and so we've been doing that now. They've been working on that for a while.
Sounds like a great job.
Yeah, they proactively essentially scour every resource you can imagine to find music, and it's of course all the main charts, but it's independent mail order, a catalog, distributors. We go to all the sort of musical destination sites wherever music is being discussed, and essentially kind of cull through mountains of kind of suggestions and discussion topics and artist names floating around in the internet, and essentially trying to scoop all that stuff in. Then, now that we have this fairly sizable listener base, we get many recommendations every day from people who write in saying, you know, I tried to enter this artist and they weren't in your database. And we get something like 30 or 40,000 song recommendations from that. And we also look at the missed searches. So if someone enters a band like Girly Man and we don't have their music, so the search comes up, you know, sorry, we don't have this one, we actually register that. And after a certain number of failed searches on a given artist or song, we very proactively go out to get it. I think one last comment, I guess, about your experience is there are some artists that are hard to find neighbors for. There are a lot of very, very unique artists. And there are also sort of small sections of the Music Genome Project that aren't quite as densely populated with music as others. So sometimes you'll enter an artist and just be in kind of a thin part of the database.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, you know, it's an ongoing process. You know, there's millions of songs, and we're trying to, every day we do more and more and try to kind of fill out the database in every section so that no one has that experience.
It'll be really interesting as your database gets more and more complete to see, are there natural biases in the music that's out there in terms of the characteristics it has and doesn't have. I mean, I'm sure that you have some idea about that now, or someone at Pandora does.
We haven't actually, it's an interesting point, we haven't actually looked to see, you know, what percentage of songs have these characteristics or not, but I suspect you're right.
I personally would be also interested in, instead of just being able to enter an artist, which is great, to be able to say, well, I'd like some humorous music with a, you know, a melodic line and a heavy bass or whatever. Maybe there doesn't even exist such music. And to, you know, to be able to look at the characteristics and say, I think I might like that kind of music. Is there any of that kind of music?
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right. I definitely will. I think the last thing I want to ask you about is copyright issues, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. The whole world of copyright is pretty different, and it seems like it's an ever-expanding challenge. So how does that affect what you're doing at Pandora?
Well, we operate under the umbrella of a statute called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which was passed about 8 years ago and clarified over the course of a couple lawsuits in the last few years. And the DMCA allows us to play any music that we want with one agreement and one set royalty and licensing payment, provided that we abide by sort of a handful of guidelines. And those include things like you can't play a song on demand. You have a limited number of skips that you can do. You can only play four songs by one artist in a three-hour period, and things like that. And provided that we do that, provided we have some limit on the interactivity of the service, we can play anything we want. And we make payments, so you know, every month we write a check to a couple different organizations who then distribute it to musicians, and it's completely legal, and the artists are being paid.
And how much do artists tend to get paid for the streaming audio on the web?
Well, it's a fraction of a penny per play. So, you know, it gets interesting for an artist when Pandora gets big. But one of the nice things about the service is, you know, we have absolutely no bias on an artist's popularity. So the music that's played is played purely because it's musically relevant. You're just as likely to hear a track by Bruce Springsteen as you are to hear a track by an artist you've never heard before. Something like 86% or 85% of the music in the genome has been played. And
that's pretty good given how big your catalog is.
Yeah. And we frequently get questions from musicians who come in and say, you know, I'm in Pandora and you know I've seen a bump in my iTunes sales and people are coming to my shows saying they've heard about Pandora and can you tell me how many times I've been played? And I would say the average answer to that is in the tens of thousands for you know bands that are very, very obscure. So I think that, you know, we're on the way towards a very different music business here that I think I hope will give rise to a musician's middle class. That's kind of my hope for this.
That would be exciting.
Yeah, it's needed.
And can musicians send you CDs, or how do they how do you facilitate getting added to Pandora if you're a musician?
Yeah, absolutely. I neglected to mention that we certainly welcome, embrace, you know, submissions directly from musicians, and we get tons of them. So we have boxfuls of CDs, and everything that we get, we'll listen to. We don't enroll everything in the genome. We can't possibly do that. There's way too much. But we listen to everything we're sent.
It just takes too much time or too much space?
Yeah, we've got 40 musicians doing this. And so these are trained musicians. You know, they typically have at least a four-year degree in music, and they do everything on location. And it takes something like 20 or 30 minutes to do a single song. And hence, we do about 10,000 songs a month. And we get, you know, suggestions for three or four times that many per month. So we have to choose, which is difficult because you'd like to put everything in. But we also think of the genome as a collection, and we're trying to put the best stuff we can find into it. You know, without regard to popularity, but the best stuff we can find.
Well, I'm glad that that you're out there and that you're working on this music discovery service. So tell people how they can try their own Pandora Internet radio station?
It's very, very simple. You just go to www.pandora.com, and from there on, it's completely self-explanatory. Very simple. No software to download, and all you just need is a high-speed Internet connection. And you can be listening to a perfectly tailored music station in 10 seconds.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Tim. It's been great talking with you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.